Part 20. Justification and Assurance and the Witness of the Spirit. It may help us to see the importance of the principle of position in our Christian life if we consider the fact that God began training us in positional truth before we were born again. First, justification. According to his faithful ministry, the Holy Spirit brought about an initial conviction of sin by revealing our needy condition. Through varied pressures and circumstances, we came to realise our sinful state before God. Then the Holy Spirit may have used a faithful witness to make clear to us from the Word that we were lost sinners positionally, that we were in the wrong family, that we had been born into the fallen, sinful, condemned Adamic line. For as in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In our natural birth, we were born dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And in Romans 5 verse 17, we read that by one man's offence, that's Adam's offence, by one man's offence death reigned. In his perfect love and holiness, God made it possible for us to be removed from our position of death in Adam and to be eternally born anew into his family through our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace, we were brought to turn from our natural fallen condition and position and to believe on his Son as our own personal saviour, our new position before God. Much of this wonderful transaction and transition, no doubt, was not understood at the time. However, it is all important that the truths of our new birth and justification become crystal clear if we're to experience the benefits of our position in Christ. Superficiality in this foundational step inevitably makes for shallowness and for immaturity throughout our subsequent walk. The meaning of justification is to pronounce righteous, not to make righteous. What is imputed is not, in fact, imparted. To be justified means that the believer is viewed in Christ as righteous and is treated as such by God. The righteousness of our position in the Lord Jesus is increasingly manifested in our condition as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. And in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, we read this: But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness and redemption. Until we clearly see our positional perfection of our justification in Christ, our conception of and faith in all other aspects of our position will be out of focus. In the Old Testament type, God explained to Israel that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17 verse 11. Now, the value of the life sacrificed is the measure of the worth of the blood shed. In that these type sacrifices were animals, innocent and spotless though they were, still it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10 verse 4. All this was a cancellation in anticipation of God's perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, 29. God the Son became also the perfect Son of Man, in order that he might go to the Father's altar, the cross of Calvary, and there willingly shed his precious blood in full atonement for our sins. Complete payment made. He was free to rise again in resurrection, ascended, and glorified eternal life. And in Ephesians 1 verse 7 we read this, that in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. There are two important factors in this verse. First, in whom we have redemption. Here we have our position of justification. When we received him as Saviour, he received us and we were born into him in newness of life. His life. And secondly, because of the perfection of his atonement, it was all according to the riches of his grace. Complete and eternal justification is a gracious gift, utterly impossible to be earned in any way whatsoever. In Romans 4 verse 5 we read this, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. A further fact to be remembered is that all of our sins were future at the time that they were paid for, since the work of the cross was accomplished when we were yet unborn. Our Father took everything into consideration before he made a single move on our behalf. Hence we can be fully assured that all our sins, past, present and future, all have been forever forgiven. In Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, we read this. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Since justification is in Christ and not in ourselves, it is a truth of position and not condition. We receive justification in the Lord Jesus by faith in the Word of God. It is a fact believed, not an experience received. It has nothing to do with our condition, but it has everything to do with our position. However, as we rest in our justified position, our spiritual condition is affected. We experience something of the newfound peace and joy of the Lord, and his love for us. Secondly, we look at assurance. The blessed assurance of salvation, and of justification in particular, is based squarely on our position in the Lord Jesus as our righteousness. Being non-experiential, justification can never be founded on our condition. Assurance of justification results when we realise what our Father has done and said. It is never based on feelings. Someone said that, because God has spoken, I am sure. Because I am sure, I feel the rest. In Colossians 3 verse 2 we read this, set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. It is here that the first major mistake in our Christian life is often made. In taking the position of justification by faith in the Lord Jesus, this new standing of life began to make a marked difference in our state. Because of this, we shifted the basis of our assurance from eternal position to temporal condition. We looked and felt and sounded saved, hence we were assured of our salvation. But then one morning came the dawn. We didn't look very saved, and we didn't feel very saved, and so we didn't sound very saved either. All day long everything and everybody went wrong. And by nightfall we found ourselves at the end of our assurance. Thoroughly shaken, we determined to rectify the matters the next day. On that day we strove to look saved and to feel saved and to sound saved. But because we were centred in our condition, all was wretched and failure. We even began to question our salvation. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, we asked. Judges 6:13. In the Lord's time, the Comforter refocused our faith on our position by means of the Word of God, and our assurance of salvation was again anchored upon the rock, Christ Jesus. With this assurance re-established, our condition began to improve as a result of the position in which we stood by faith. We had learned our first important lesson, that is, the necessity of knowing and abiding in our position in Christ. Apart from this abiding, there is nothing but frustration and failure. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says this, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Third, we look at the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Romans 8, verse 16. It is a temptation for many to yearn after something more tangible than the positional testimony and the word in order to be more sure of their assurance. But it is at this point that the faithful Holy Spirit would teach us total reliance on the Word of God with nothing added. James 1:21 reads this, "Receive with meekness the engrafted Word." There may be other grounds for assurance of our salvation, such as we read in 1 John 3:14, that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But this is secondary. It's not foundational. Besides, there will be times when our love for our brethren may falter. And then what of our assurance? The witness of the Holy Spirit is his witness to the Word of God, wherein lies God's revelation of our eternal position. And in that word, he testifies concerning the Lord Jesus, who is our position before God. Although the Holy Spirit abides within and witnesses to our spirit, we must remember that the human spirit lies beyond the range of consciousness. Therefore, assurance of salvation is not gained through the senses. As we rest in our position by faith in the scriptural facts, the Spirit of truth gives us a deep and inexplicable assurance that cannot be altered. We not only believe, we know. Our knowledge is established in the eternal, Spirit-ministered scripture. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 2 Timothy 1:12. Oh, it seems so simple and solved during the infant stages of our Christian life. But the Lord must take us on from milk to meat. He must take us on to become responsible, spiritually intelligent, adult believers. We must not only become firmly and established, clearly established in the deeper truths ourselves, but we must be qualified to share them effectively with others. Once we are sure and sound, the Lord can establish others through us. But if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8. Until we are solidly founded upon the first principles of spiritual birth, we cannot be taken on to the principles of growth and maturity. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, unto maturity. Hebrews 5:13-14 and chapter 6, verse 1. As the electronic eye of the space capsule locks onto its designated star for guidance and maintenance on its heavenly course, so are we to fix our eye of faith on our heavenly position, on the bright and morning star. Thus, in our fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, we shall find experientially that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Hebrews 12:2 and Proverbs 4:18.